The unrest in Baltimore a year ago was a wake-up call for state and federal policymakers. As we continue to look at Baltimore a year after Freddie Gray, WYPR's Rachel Bay reports that the months that followed the unrest saw an infusion of more than $65 million in new federal grants and a flurry of state legislation aimed at breathing new life into the city.
Mechanics are already busy at work at the Full Circle Service Center in Halethorpe when 30-year-old Brandon Carroll walks in. He says he's late because he had to meet with his parole officer.
I was incarcerated for about 6 years. I was hanging around people and basically was a product of my environment. I got caught with a gun.
While in prison, Carroll says he learned about this program, run by the nonprofit Vehicles for Change. He's now been here nearly 6 months, getting on-the-job training as an auto mechanic. He plans to get a certification in brake repair within the next week. Then Vehicles for Change will place him in a job.
I have two children and I also have one on the way. So I'm trying to prepare things for them, make life better for them, and just give them a better opportunity than I had.
Vehicles for Change is one of more than a dozen area nonprofits that received part of a $5 billion grant the U.S. Department of Labor gave Baltimore last June. The grant was one part of a larger coordinated federal response to the unrest that followed Freddie Gray's death from injuries suffered in police custody. Congressman John Sarbanes, whose district includes part of Baltimore, said the White House has pushed federal agencies to work more collaboratively to address the needs of cities since President Obama took office.
The opportunity to showcase that kind of collaboration presented itself, obviously, last year in Baltimore after we had the unrest in the wake of the Freddie Gray death.
The Department of Justice stepped in to work with the City Police Department on community policing strategies. The Department of Housing and Urban Development gave the city a nearly $4 million grant to address lead paint. The Department of Transportation announced a $10 million grant for the Port of Baltimore. Sarbanes is working with the U.S. Department of Energy to bring solar panels to low-income communities in the city and to train local residents to install them. Labor Secretary Tom Perez focused on jobs, what he said was a root cause of the unrest.
To simply and exclusively focus on improving the quality of policing in Baltimore would not get at the totality of the need. We needed to build, and we continue to need to build, a new normal in Baltimore.
In particular, Perez focused on job opportunities for people between the ages of 16 and 29. His agency's $5 million went through the State Department of Labor to the city's Office of Employment Development. It funds One Baltimore for Jobs, the umbrella program working with Vehicles for Change and other area nonprofits to provide job training and a pathway to employment. Danielle Terrain serves as the One Baltimore for Jobs program director.
The job training organization, usually they kind of figure out the best way they can, right? So they are working directly with job seekers, they get someone on board, and that person may or may not come with a number of different issues. And so each of those organizations usually does the best they can to connect them to other support service providers.
For example, mental health issues, childcare needs, or a criminal history could seem insurmountable for a job seeker. Those behind One Baltimore for Jobs aim to test out a new approach to job training. The program boasts a network that links workforce training programs with organizations that provide adult education, legal services, and mental health supports.
You know, remember, like, this goes back to the uprising, so we're talking about some of the hardest to serve job seeker populations in the city.
Terrain said the goal for this particular grant is to place 700 Baltimore residents into jobs. As of February, the most recent program-wide data available, nearly 200 people had begun job training and 17 had completed it. But if it's successful, the hope is that the program will establish a new normal. While federal grants were making their way through the city, state legislators were taking their own stab at solving Baltimore's problems. Maggie McIntosh, who represents North Baltimore in the House of Delegates, was part of the effort to develop the package.
And they vary. For instance, one is to give money to the libraries to make sure that libraries in Baltimore can stay open in the evenings.
Another bill paid for extended school days and summer programs. There was money for tearing down vacant houses and more money for redeveloping blighted neighborhoods. And there was the police reform bill that aimed to improve relationships between police and communities. The General Assembly's 90-day session ended earlier this month, and most of these measures take effect July 1. But many weren't new ideas. Some have come before state lawmakers before, and failed.
And the reason why they were introduced in previous years is because they were issues then and there are issues now.
Keith Haynes is a Democrat who represents part of West Baltimore in the House of Delegates.
The civil unrest which we experienced on last year created an opportunity to bring our colleagues on board in Annapolis to understand what we're going through here in Baltimore and what the needs are and what the resources that we're looking for to help address some of these issues.
House Speaker Michael Bush, who represents Anne Arundel County, said new developments such as in the Inner Harbor may have misled some state lawmakers.
In my estimation, Baltimore has experienced a renaissance up until the Freddie Gray incident. And I think many people have looked past the fact that there's still a lot of poverty in Baltimore City.
Granted, not all attention is good attention. Stephanie DeLuca teaches sociology at Johns Hopkins University, and her new book follows youth who were born into low-income families in Baltimore.
You know, the media coverage last spring really focused on, you know, what was happening outside and, you know, and these incidents of looting. But when that happens, you tend to miss all of the kids who are inside. You know, we see the most threatening aspects of inner city life are the ones that get the focus.
DeLuca argues that in all this talk about new life for Baltimore, officials should prioritize opportunity for youth.
The young people in Baltimore, you know, they're hungry for opportunities. There's this strong drive to be about something that you can, you know, make your family proud of you, right? I think what we learned from 10 years of field work is that the last thing kids want to do is be on the corner.
Davon Love of the activist group Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle said the key to all this reform is that it should come from the communities it aims to help.
The fundamental problem that we have in Baltimore is that there are people that are not of or from our communities making decisions about the institutions that govern our lives.
He said the new government efforts should invest directly in the communities that need help, rather than create dependency on nonprofit organizations that come in from outside those communities. I'm Rachel Bay for 88.1 WYPR.